to worship the Lord. And I see my little note here. Sister Merle and Robert are in Whanganui celebrating their 60th years of marriage. That's a pretty original reason for not coming to church, I guess. Good on them. I saw their face in the paper, but I wouldn't have recognised Merle. Or Robert, for that matter. But it's going way back. Who's here to worship the Lord this morning? Amen. Me too. Okay, shall we sing our first song here? I'm Living on the Mountain. It's A flat, brother. Shall we stand as we sing? I'm living on the mountain underneath a cloudless sky, sweeping on the day, never shall run dry, reaching on the manna, the full supply, for I am dwelling in Beulah land. I'm living on the mountain underneath a cloudless sky. I'm drinking at the fountain that never shall run dry. Manna, bountiful supply, for I am dwelling in Beulah land. Yep, where you live may not be the way you'd like it, or could be better, or whatever it is, but the thing is, it's good to know that the Lord is coming and things will change. Well, everything seems to be moving around, and it's got a chair that's moved as well. Don't know what's happening here. Things that are changing. However, let's sing 3, 4, 6. God will make a way, and He certainly will. The thing is to know that He's making His way for you and me. God will make a way where He seems to be no way. He works in ways we cannot see. He will make a way for me. He will be my guide, holding closely to His side. With love and strength for each new day, He will make a way. God will make a way. God will make a way where there seems to be no way. He works in ways we cannot see. He will make a way for me. He will be my guide, closely to His side. With love and strength for each new day, He will make a way. God will make a way. You know, if you want to know which way God's going, theoretically you just look beside you, because He's walking with you and He lives within you and He makes you think and do things according to His plan. But for that to happen, we need to walk with our Lord. Let's sing that one again, put ourselves in the song. God will make a way where there seems to be no way. He works in ways we cannot see. He will make way for us. Let's sing 336, I will enter his gates. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. Rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. Will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. You're glad. Have you looked around to see that you are glad? I know the married girls are here, and that makes me glad. And Sister Roberta from up the coast, good to see her again. Lord bless you, my sister. But it's good to see you all, and let the Lord bless you. All we need to do is open our hearts and let it be. Let's sing. Oh no, I'll just open in prayer, okay? Lord Jesus, we do appreciate you, Lord. We don't come here lightly. We come here with an understanding that you're going to be here. We know, Lord, that you were with us during the night when we were asleep and you watched over us. And during the day yesterday and all the rest of our life previously, you were there. And we know, Lord, that you will also be here for our future until you come, and then we'll be with you indefinitely. We love you, Lord. Help us, Lord, to just open up to what Bill has to preach for us today. Help us to worship you, Lord, from our own heart. Just be with the people that join with us on the internet and the CDs, and undertake for them, Lord. Not forgetting our pastor who's in Auckland at the moment with the New Wayan and Tongan Fellowships, collectively worshiping you too. And we're so very pleased about that. Just bless them also. Bless Brother Tim, who's on a holiday at the moment, Lord, and won't be here today. And anyone else that may be coming or not yet arrived, we ask, Lord, that you bless them also. We ask these things in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. Before we sing the next one, do we have anyone that would have an item? Sister Jan, okay, well, we'll have that a little later. That's good. Let us sing Some Glad Morning, number 383. Some glad morning when this life is all, I'll fly. That day come quickly, and I believe it will. Let us sing number 377, What a Mighty God We Serve. Amen. And we sure do. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before Him, heaven and earth adore Him. What a mighty God we serve. Jesus is the God we serve. Jesus is the God we serve. Angels bow before Him. Sister Jan, you have an item. Well, that's really good. Praise God. We don't have on our prayer request anyone on the internet. Does any hear that anyone would like for us to pray? Okay. Daniel Warrington, due for an operation, may the Lord undertake. Where is he living now?
Christchurch.
Oh, yeah. Daniel Warrington. Any others?
Jane's mum.
Yep.
And my brother Peter, who's affected two steps.
Okay. Jane's brother and mother.
Lead me to the rock that
that is higher the rock, that is higher than I.
Thou hast been a shelter for me, a strong tower from the enemy. From the ends of the earth will I cry unto thee, when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher, the rock that is higher than I. From the ends of the earth will I cry unto thee, when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher, the rock that is higher than I.
Thank you, the kids' family, except Beulah. Missed you, Beulah. I thought you'd be up here. When I took those names there, I think there was, I might have missed one. There's Daniel Warrington's operation, Jan's brother Peter, and Jan's mum. Was there any other I didn't write down? Well done. Tony Ann. Thankful because she's moved into a new home. The Lord has provided it for her and Marcus. Why shouldn't Marcus be here? Okay. Tony's home.
Tony. Brother Lee.
Yep.
Roberta's son, Vanya, and his partner, Stacy, they just need a touch from the Lord.
Roberta. Okay, I didn't get the other names, but the Lord knows.
Amen.
Was there any others? Okay. Well, we'll come. Oh, I might as well do those two now, the prayer requests. There's also the services in Auckland, which I've also already mentioned there, and with Brother Howard, Sister June, and the Niuans and Tongans, and any visitors that may come for them up there, may it be a time of enlightening for them, and anyone up there that may need to make that all-important decision for themselves, may it be the catalyst for them to do just that. Shall we bow our heads as we pray for these? Lord Jesus, you are our Saviour, Redeemer. You're our comfort, Lord. You are the one that knows all the things that we come across. Lord, when we have problems and we have indecision, and some people are absolutely down in their well-being, and there's many, many things, but you know all about these things with everybody individually. There's nobody, Lord, that you don't know. You know where we live. You know our names. You know what we've gone through. You know the mistakes we made. You know the good things that we've done. Lord, we're so very pleased that you are our wonderful and righteous and holy God. There's nothing is missed. But we do pray for those just mentioned at this moment, Lord, and we're talking about Daniel Warrington, who's going for an operation, Lord. I just undertake for him there in Christchurch. He's had an experience with you, Lord. May he continue to have a greater one. And that's for us all, I would say, Lord. There's Jan's brother Peter, Lord, is in need of something, Lord, which I'm not aware of. And Jan's mum, who was unwell, we did pray for her. Maybe she needs to take hold of what she knows. Help her, Lord, because we were asked to pray. and there's Marcus and Tony Ann's home, Lord, they've received, and they're grateful for that. Just bless them in that you've given them, and may they just have a really happy, lovely time with the Lord in that home. And Sister Roberta and her family ties, whatever the needs were with her, Lord, if she knows what it is, you just cause them to think about it and know that the Lord will do it. And Lord, there's also the unspoken prayer requests, which we often have, always have, I would think. And Lord, those people that listen to us on the internet and the CDs, at their time of listening, they will have unspoken prayer requests. They will have times to give thanks for the Lord for prayers that you have answered. Because, Lord, every prayer you know about, even if it isn't spoken out loud, you know what we think. You know our heart intimately better than we do. Lord, I just pray for the meetings there in Auckland with Brother Howard and Sister June there, for the Niuans and Tongans and all the visitors that may be going to those meetings. Just give Howard the word that you've given him, Lord. Maybe he be uplifted and encouraged as the people receive what you've given him. We pray for Merle and Robert Gilchrist currently at Whanganui, Lord. At their 60th wedding anniversary celebrations in their family, just bless them, Lord. May they be uplifted because they have been remembered in prayer at this time, particularly Sister Merle. Lord, I pray for Robert, Tim, Lord, Maine, on holiday at this time, and just bless him, Lord. We ask these things. And also, Lord, people that would like to come to a service and don't do it, just be with them, Lord. There's no way that man can change that, but the Holy Spirit can. Just uplift them. Lord, just bless Brother Bill as he brings a word to us this morning, and may we just receive what you've given for him to say, and may we be blessed because of it. In Jesus' precious and holy name, amen. Well, let us sing How Lovely on the Mountains Are the Feet of Him. Hope Brother Peter knows that. 337, shall we stand as we sing it? because he lives within us. I have to say I'm really blessed having Brother Taz here. And
amen.
With that saxophone playing, it really lifts it all. Let's give him a clap here. He praises the Lord. We praise the Lord too, and him. Appreciate it, brother. It's good to have you doing that. Let us just be seated at the moment, and because we're not having an afternoon service today, I thought we'd have a testimony time. If anybody has a testimony they would like to express, you're very welcome to tell us about it. All you do is raise your hand. What about the Marriott girl? Thanks, Brother Taz.
Good morning.
Good morning, Taz.
I went for my usual walk up Kaidi Hill yesterday, and there were two people I was expecting to see up there or whatever, but they never turned up. I won't mention any names,
no.
But just watch my eyes.
Oh,
you
yes.
know. So they must have retired already. But anyway, when I got up to the top of the hill, you two missed out on revival, you see. When I got up to the top of the hill, there were about seven young men there, probably in their late teens, early 20s, forestry workers. But anyway, they were all up there parting up large, so I decided to go and join. Hey! Come here, let me speak to you for a quarter of an hour. So they turned their radio down and everything and then gathered around. See, that's where our language comes handy, eh, Bill? Because they would have said, Hikamawaiti ne Pākehā. Who's this Pākehā that's going to talk to us? But the moment I spoke a bit of the reo and introduced myself as being from the coast, whoo, they all came forward. But one thing the Lord's been showing me over the last few weeks is, how do we get people's attention when you want to share the gospel with them? How, especially those type of people, how do you actually draw their attention, get their attention, and then they come in to actually listen? And the Lord's been showing me about the importance of speaking about his love. The fact that he loves everybody and that his love is total on everybody. That there's no condition to be met or whatever. That his love is absolutely total. And when you get these sort of guys, the moment you say to them, do you guys realize that God loves you heaps? And that he loves you the same as he loves me? He doesn't love me any more than you. And the moment you say that type of thing, they start coming in.
Hallelujah.
So what you do is you speak about the love of God being unconditional or all that sort of thing. But over the last few weeks, what the Lord has shown me is you then speak to them about God's love being embodied in Christ. And that God's love through Christ speaks to you. So the moment you say that, then you're able to say, if you want to hear the love of God speaking to you, listen to the words of Jesus. What did Jesus say? So one of the things I always finish up saying is that one thing I love about the love of God in Christ is that he warns me. He gives me a choice to either make a decision for his love, which is in Christ, or to rebuke that love and refuse it. And I make a point of saying to them, you know what, God loves you so much that even on judgment day, God is going to give you what you choose. And then I really hone in on the importance, especially these days, of saying you must decide on this side of the grave. What are you going to do with God's love? Are you going to accept that love that is embodied in Christ, or are you going to reject that love? And I make a point of saying to them that love on judgment day will give you what you have chosen to do.
Amen. Yes.
That's a good way of sharing the gospel. Simple language.
Absolutely the truth. The thing, you know, that hearing you say that is I just know in my experience with talking to people is to be inclusive. You go to talk to this person, and God loves you. You're included in it. It's not saying, come to my church. Come and believe what I believe. But you include them in Jesus Christ's love and Jesus Christ will speak to them. And some people I find when I'm talking to them about it that haven't known a lot about Christian things is they don't realize that that still small voice is God talking. Some people have actually said to me, him, God, talking to me. That's them. And I said, yes, that's right. It's that still small voice. And I quite often say, well, you know what I've just told you in the last quarter of an hour, 20 minutes or whatever it was, you decide whether that was from Satan or that was from God or was from me. And I'm telling you now, it's not me. I'm telling you that. So it's either Satan or God. Which one are you going to choose? And they are included. Let them be included in what you have to say, and God will do the rest. Because you and me and Taz and everybody else, we can't change anything. God does it, but he leads us to those people that need to know. Okay, any other testimonies?
I'd just like to counteract that opening statement of Taz's. The reason he didn't see anyone else on Cody Hill is because Paul and I were on a real walk. We did something like 18 and a half kilometres yesterday when he did about 10. But I'd like to say, in saying that, I don't know about Paul, but I woke up feeling so well. And I just thank the Lord that my body is so good, so healthy. As I said to someone, maybe the brain's going, but the body's okay. But and that verse came to mind, in him we live and walk and have our being. We, all of us, we are, you know, God sustains us. He keeps us, whether mentally, physically, spiritually, you know. We give God the glory. I don't know how Paul feels. I'll ask him. Paul.
Yeah, no, very good. And I give praise to God too. Amen.
Everything we do. Any other testimonies? Sister Jan.
Just praise God. In our homeschool conference, the couple that came talked about this book by Ed Wheat, who was the guy's doctor, but he's a Christian guy who wrote books for marriage. And so for Bill's birthday, I thought I'd order it online. And it's called Love, Life and Rekindling. It's for newlyweds and for oldweds. It's just how to stay in love. And that, and it's really biblically centred, and it's like a manual. And so we're only up to chapter 3. We're very slow going. But we've just been able to share it, give it to someone whose marriage is not going well, or relationship's not going well. And so we've got to buy another one now. But it's Ed Wheat, and Bill has really, really blessed. And so have I, because it's written in such a godly way, in a simple way, in a biblical way, based on Genesis, and that just how you can strengthen marriages and how the enemy wants to tear down. So I thank the Lord for this guy's wisdom. He's very old. I don't even know if he's still in. I think he's dead, but it is so good for newly married and old married people. So I recommend it.
Lord, any others? Okay. Well, maybe that little medicine's got something to say. Not yet. Okay, let's sing one more and then I'll ask Brother Bill to come. Let's stand and sing 313. Time is filled with swift transition. Hold to God's unchanging hand is the chorus. Let's sing it with understanding and belief. Then Bill will come. Time is filled with swift transition, naught of earth unlived can stand. Build your hopes on things eternal, hold to God's unchanging hand. Yes. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Hold. Build your hopes on things eternal.
Am I on? Right. Okay, you can be seated. Thanks to musicians. We really appreciate you, you four musicians, and all the singers too. Jessica, what shall I call my rock? I need a name. I'll come back to you. Brianna. Got a good name for a rock? What about you, Eloise, have you got a good name for my rock? Well, I'm going to tell you what I am going to call it. I'm going to call it Ebenezer, okay? Ebenezer. So I'll just put my rock here because it'll come up later. Anyway, it's really good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Taz, I know we're not supposed to envy, but I envy your boldness. You've always been bold. If it wasn't for your boldness, I wouldn't be here now. Or God would have taken me down another track, you know. But anyway, I really appreciate you. And it's just really good to be all together. I don't know you, sorry. I can't preach to people I don't know. Leah. Who? Leah. Who are you, Leah? Leah, like who do you belong to?
Tupaka.
From Rangitukia?
I'm not from my dad.
Who said?
That's his cousin.
Kia ora. Yeah, kia ora. Are you like Toti and...
No, from Taki.
Taki. Who married Nanny Nooni? Is that your grandparents? Right, now we've got you. Yeah, that's good. That's right, I can't. And it's good to see Malia here today. It's really good to be here all together, eh? And just, I would love to have been with those Tongans and Niueans today, but I'd rather be with you fellas, eh? And it's just such a beautiful morning together. I'll just share a testimony and a couple of other things before we get going, but I was going to share a testimony. So Josh asked his mother, because he's working with the young people at the House of Breakthrough, and he said, oh, Mum, three of the children want Bibles. Have you got any new Bibles? And so we had some Bibles. So Jan gave him four Bibles. And anyway, on Friday night, so we had dinner with him on Thursday, was it? Wednesday night, and Jan gave him four Bibles, and then he said he didn't know why he needed four Bibles, but on Friday night he didn't know why he needed four Bibles, because one young person gave their heart to the Lord. So that's, God's got everything just in perfect order, and we don't even need to fuss. I mean, someone could be going as far from God as away from us as we can imagine, but we don't need to fuss, brothers and sisters. God's got it all in control. Okay, Eloise, now who's preaching today, me or you? Hey? You're right. You're good. And we had a really nice time. Jen and I have really been enjoying this book. And, you know, when people talk about love life, you know what immediately comes to the head, but to the mind. But it's just such a beautiful book about love. And we've really been enjoying it. So, we had some time just to read through that while our girls were staying up with Josh, and then we went out for lunch, and it was such a beautiful thing to see Auntie Ro, Roberta, our sister Roberta. Her mum turned 94 yesterday, and she is as fit as a fiddle. Her mind is as sharp as anything, and her body is still pretty good, eh, Auntie Ro? And she lives with Roberta's youngest sister in her mother and father's home at Tutu Matai, and it was just so nice to see Nanny Henry and all of her children and some other hangers-on all having lunch together yesterday in Toko. So we can thank the Lord, you know, for good health. That's true, Pete.
Amen.
We've got much to be grateful for, eh?
Amen.
Anyway, so why don't we just stand up, and if you all turn to Psalm 46, sorry, Nancy, I thought it 6 o'clock this morning to write out the list of scriptures, but you're just going to have to keep up. Psalm 46. I reckon what we should do is read the whole chapter together. There's only 11 verses. And then we can... just hone in on it. Okay, are we all there? Everyone ready? Okay, let's start. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. Selah. What does it mean? Rest and pause and calmly rest. Is it? And consider. That's good. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God. Amen to that, eh? The holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Was it? Be still and calmly consider. Let's pray. Lord, we just want to be still before you this morning, Lord. It's a crazy world out there. Lord, we just want to be still before you and know that you are God. And have an expectation in our heart that you're going to speak to us this morning, Lord. However simply, sometimes simply is the best, Lord. I'm not a complex kind of person. I'm pretty simple, Lord. But I just want to be available for you this morning, just like Taz was available for you yesterday morning up on Kaiti Hill with those young fellas. Lord, just move through me, Lord. Use my voice this morning. Not my words, not my thoughts, but yours be done, Lord. Your will be done this morning, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Jessica, did you come up with a name for my rock? Ah. Oh. What about you, Brianna? You forgot. Well, we will call it Ebenezer, okay? And we'll just leave it there. Right. Well, I had been reading just in my own personal private time through Psalms. And when I read Psalm 46:1, and I've got this little book in Māori and English when I go to the hospital or sometimes if I'm going to visit somebody who's really needs it. I really love that scripture in verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time in trouble. And I always say that I never really thought about it. And then I just, as I read it the other day, and I just went away and I started thinking about it, and I thought about the second part of it, a very present help in trouble. And I like that word present. You know, the word present, it sort of just jumped up to me a little bit more. Just, and over the weeks, I've just been thinking about it, and particularly this week, as I knew I had to share with you fellas, it came even stronger to me about how very present he is. He's a very present help. Not just a present help, a very present help. Anyway, God is our refuge and strength. Not our armies, not our fortresses. What else? What else can be our refuge and strength?
Money.
And we just read that about they decay quickly. Money decays.
Friends.
Those can be our refuge. And we can put. But we know it says, even my friend lifted up his heel against me when they were going to the house of the Lord. You know, friends desert you. I noticed, well, you know, I was just thinking we're going to Wellington in a little while, and I've got a really good mate who I used to flat with, and we're going to a family function, but I just don't feel to go and stay with him. I love him, but our lives are so different now, and I just know that it would be uncomfortable for probably him too, having me in his house. I love him, but we're probably best to meet on neutral territory. What else can be our fortress? Our intelligence, absolutely. Our education. Come on, got another one?
Family.
Our family can be our... It was interesting, in one of the Psalms it says, you know, even if my mother and father forsake me, you know, that can happen. Sorry? Yeah? Our working career, definitely. Sorry? Our possessions, absolutely. So all of those can... But they're nothing. all of them can just disappear just like that. There's testimony after testimony of where people have lost houses, possessions, lost their job. I remember when my brother lost his job. I think I shared that with you before. Called in on a Wednesday to shed four staff. He had decided which four positions would go. And they said, oh, Johnny, this will be your last week too. And he was just devastated, you know. He thought he was secure. He had a good job. He was loyal, everything. So Israel's boast and our boast is in Jehovah, the living and true God, who is living and true to us this morning. So soldiers of the cross, precious brethren, remember this and count yourselves safe because his eye is on you. This morning, his eye is on you. You know, count ourselves safe. It doesn't matter what's happening around us. Actually, we are very, very safe in Christ this morning. And God's got his mind and his eye, his thoughts are towards us. I love that song. I can't remember the name of the lady, but the kids, I think they're tired of me playing it now. His eye is on the sparrow. Well, who's that lady? Afro-American lady from way back. Ethel Walters, beautiful. If you want to, just the way she sings it makes it sound, you know, she makes it sound really real. And his eye is on us, and we make ourselves strong in the Lord. So it says back there, God is our refuge and strength. And, you know, so he is our refuge this morning as people who believe in God here. But we've got to make it real and personal to ourselves. So for Brianna, she has to know that God is my refuge and strength. For Malia, not sure what happens in Malia's life. None of us are exempt. All of us have trials and troubles. Trials and troubles and woes and everything. That's our lot through life. But we need to know that God is our refuge and our strength. My refuge and my strength. I teach this hard case little boy. And he said, Papa, I've been having nightmares at night. And I said, well, just pray. You know, just pray to the Lord and he'll protect you. And he says, oh, no, I get the zombies and I, you know, that's what his mind is full of now, zombies. And fighting with the zombies and the bad thoughts, the bad dreams that he's having. And I thought, but they occur night after night after night. He told me that. And I thought, but when you've got God, you know, when those nightmares, because they're real, and sometimes, you know, they're actually real right there in your room, because I've had that experience of an evil spirit right there in my room, you know, wanting to have a go at me, is that when we have Jesus Christ, and when we shoot Jesus Christ at him, that's it. And the more you call on the name of the Lord and use that as your strength and that as your refuge and that's your bastion, and then you call out from that, from Jesus Christ, eventually they'll go away. And I know a lot of the children that I teach, that's their lot, is they're having lots of nightmares and stuff like that. But what I'm trying to, in a very informal, casual, but, you know, real way, is just say to them, pray to God. They know that because Jan and Roberta and the girls have been teaching them in Bible and schools. They know that God is real. They believe that. But to actually enact it and call it out and know that it's not just words but actually a reality in their hearts and that they can make it real in their own lives and know that God is my refuge and my strength. Sorry. Don't forget the fact that God is our refuge right now. The immediate present, right this very moment, even right where you're sitting now, if there's things in your life that are happening, he is your refuge right now. And this is as true now as when David wrote it thousands of years ago for him. When he wrote it, that was a reality in his heart. Otherwise, he wouldn't have written it down. He knew what he was talking about. And if it wasn't important, he wouldn't have put it in. But it is important, and it's written here for us for a purpose, to know that the Lord, that God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. If it says it in God's word, we can nail our lives to it, you know. And I'm not sure why God wants me to share this particular message with us, but that's what he said. Brother Branham said, when a divine promise is made, God is solely under oath and obligation to take care of any of his promises. If he says he's our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble, he is. And he's obligated to keep that. He's worth no more than what his word is. If that word is not effective, then God is not effective. If he can't keep his word, then he's not who he says he is. But he is. And we know that because he showed that time and time through the Bible, right through the Old Testament and the New Testament, and right to now, he can be taken at his word. That is God. It's God. The Bible said, in the beginning was the word was with God, and the word was God. I'm worth no more than your word, than my word. Nona Ana, you're worth no more than your word. If you say it, then that's it. And God is like that. We can take him at his word. He's a very present help in the Hebrew, and I can't read that because it's just a whole lot of squiggles, Brianna and Jessica. But it says, and I'll try and pronounce it, a very present help is Nezra Nimtza Miod. It means a help that is found exceedingly. He's tried very much. So, you know, we can see time and time where David called on God for help and God showed himself. He just proved himself time and time again. One whom we have found by experience to be such, and a help on which we may write. So he's a very present help. He is here and he is now. I was just thinking about that, you know, the word present. It doesn't really, this was my own thought about it, but, you know, when it says he's a very present help, he's here and he's now. So, you know, like I'm a teacher, so when I was little, growing up, when they called our names in the morning, Bill Hughes, Sambo Reedy, Tito Faiporti, we would say present, present, present. That's how we responded to our teacher when she called out our names. Because we were right there. And it's like that with God. He is present. He's right here. He's so accessible. All we have to do is reach out and take a hold of him. Sometimes we try and take a hold of things. Even some of you might be sitting here right now. You know, you might have concerns or worries in your mind thinking, oh, I better try and work it out this way, this way, this way. Better do this, better do that. How am I going to move my house? How am I going to, what am I going to do with my husband or my son? Or what am I going to do with my son and daughter and their children? Or what about my son down in Christchurch? You might be sitting there right there and thinking, or how are we going to get on in Otoko? You know, you might be thinking all those sort of things. But God is right there. He's just right there. And all we have to do is reach out and say, Lord, I need your help. And it was interesting just talking with some of Rose Farno yesterday at the cafe. You know, I think one of the greatest things God gives us, well, I know for me, in a reality, is just peace. Amen. And contentment. You know, we live in such a crazy world where everyone's just grabbing at straws the whole time, trying to work things out. But God just gives us peace and contentment. I'll just share a little testimony. I don't know if I'd shared it with you before, but a couple of years ago, you know how they said the whole financial market was going to crash in September? Do you remember that? Someone that we know sent me an email about it. Then some friends of ours from up the coast who are in the Seventh-day Adventist Church, they said the same thing. The whole thing is going to implode and crash. Well, we had bought the house at Perot Street, and if we lost that, if we couldn't pay our mortgage, then we lost everything. You know, and I started to get all worried and stuff like that. What are you looking at me like that for, Mama? That's what was going to happen. Lose the post office. And anyway, so I said to my dad, Dad, can you help us out for a little while and do this, that, and everything? So that it didn't all, you know, so that those weren't collateral for the house in Perot Street. So we went to the bank and changed everything over and stuff. And what happened?
Nothing.
Nothing. Absolutely nothing. And I thought, that was just such a strong rebuke to me. Bill Hughes, how dare you trust in your riches or in your father or in your own wisdom and go to the bank and do all this? Don't you know my eye is on the sparrow and that I'm watching you, Bill Hughes? You don't need to worry about that kind of stuff. And it's such, you know, for all of us, no matter what, and we all got it, none of us are exempt. Even little, how old are you, Jessica? Even if you're 8, you still have issues, problems. But God is a very present help, and he's right here now. He's right beside you wanting to help you. And the other part of the present is the time. You know, past, present, and future. If he was the God of the past, he would be of absolutely no use to us, would he? I remember when I was living in the States and I did this paper, I wasn't a Christian then, called Mythology. And you learned all about the Greek gods and the Roman gods and the Egyptian gods and every other god that there ever was, which really wasn't. And I thought, you know, where are they now? They're nowhere. Hey, they're nowhere. I mean, no, I don't know anyone who follows Zeus or follows, who? Or, Nonana, what's an Italian, what's a Roman god? Eros? All of that, you know? They're nowhere now because they're not even God, they've got no power. But our God, he's still powerful and real and here. Amen. And now as he ever was. From eternity to, from everlasting to everlasting, he is our God. And he's right here and now. If we had a God in the future, well, that would be no good to us now. Oh, my God's going to do this in the future. But what about here and now? We need a God now. We need a God to worship right here and now. We need a God that we can praise and give our lives to right here and now. And that's the most wonderful thing about our God, is that he's just so real. He's so real. He's almost tangible. You know? And when we are in his presence and stuff, we know that we're there. Anyway, so that's the two parts of present I liked. That he's present here as in place, but he's also present as in now. So I was just thinking about that, you know, he's our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. So if we were to whiz around this room right now, and we've had three, I reckon we could gather testimonies of God's help in the last 24 hours that would put together a pretty substantial book. And if I was to whiz around the world right now and say to all the Christian people, give me a testimony of how God has helped you in the last 24 hours, it would fill enough volumes to fill this whole church. Okay, let's go. Leah, you got one? In the last 24 hours, how God's helped you. To what? Paint your picket fence. That's good. Got another one. Taz, we know Taz is one.
Just keeping me strong physically at this stage.
Amen. Heather?
Kapai.
Pete?
Bring me here this morning.
Okay. Nanny Shirley, his help. Sorry, Nanny Shirley.
Giving me paths when I need them.
Amen. Nonana.
Everything.
I just remember, you know, when we went to see Nonana about a month ago and she was lying on the couch and she was a bit sore and stuff. Just the testimony of how God's helped you through that time, Nonana, is just incredible. Malia, have you got one? A testimony in the last 24 hours of how God's helped you. Pauline.
Not getting angry when my washing machine broke.
Amen. Yes. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
You know, that's just the things we can actually see. That's not even the things we can't see. What about the girls? How God's helped you in the last 24 hours. Got one? Brianna? What about you, Lee?
Yeah, he's given me confidence to believe what he said.
Amen. Jen?
He's given me joy when I was feeling down.
Okay. Auntie Ro?
Well, he keeps someone around to my house to say, it's my water pipe.
Your water pipe?
Yeah.
Amen.
The cold water was just trickling out for days. This guy offered to come and found the problem and now my water's fixed.
Amen. Tina? I know you were hoping I wouldn't choose you. put your head down like that. Don't do that. That's the worst thing you can do to me. Not take my eye. You got one of how God's helped in the last 24 hours. It's all right if you haven't, but if you have, share it. With what? A good sleep, absolutely. Amen. So there's, you know, we can just, and that's only the things we actually are aware of. But God is just helping us. I was just thinking, even with Josh, you know, that boy gave, or child gave their heart to the Lord, there was a Bible there to provide a need. He has been proven over and over and over again that our God is a God of helps. Shall we sing it? Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him. Thanks, Sam Pauline. No, I'm Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I've proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. That was a great first try. Now let's all go together. Toru, fa.
Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I've proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more.
Didi, who wrote that one? I bet you that's a great testimony of that hymn writer. Anyway, we have found him to be so. Can anyone, everyone who has found Jesus to be a great help in their lives, can we just raise our hands? You can put it right up, Brianna. That's right. Amen. What about you, Eloise? Hand up. Amen. Anyway, I was just reading a little something this morning when I was just tweaking this, and I thought, you know, Brother Branham, he'd been pastoring a church for 32 years, and I was talking to the pastor in Rotorua, do you know Willie Ngarimu? You know, he was just talking to me about, you know, how hard it is to be a pastor, and I know Howard talks about that, you know, people come in and they're full on for the Lord, and they say, yeah, I'm going to come to church, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, and you never see them again. And sometimes that can be quite disheartening, but Brother Branham said he was standing there looking at the people at communion after 32 years of ministering to those people, and how God had helped them over the years in their family problems and their marriage matters and their work matters and everything, how God had just helped them to smooth it all out. And he said it was worth it all. It was worth it all just to look down on the congregation as they were coming up for communion, just to see how God had moved in those people's lives. Just a trouble would come and God would help smooth it out. Another trouble would come and they would smooth it out. So I was just thinking about that, the present part, and it says, I am. It says, not I was or I will be. In Exodus 3, you know, when God said to Moses, he said, well, how can I go? He says, tell the people of Israel that I am has sent you. And he's still the same I am today. And he will give us the strength, like he did to Tez yesterday, to go out and call 15, how many of them were there, Tez?
Seven
partying young Ngāti Pro men in the prime of their life, and probably well and truly primed, to go and talk to them about the Lord. You know, it says, God is our refuge and our strength. All other refuges, I just think, was blessed by this, was all other refuges are refuges of lies. If you put your if you try and find refuge in anything else other than Jesus Christ, it is a lie. And sooner or later, you'll find that out. That the only refuge that we can have is Jesus Christ. He's our cleft in the rock. And all other strength, because he says, the Lord is my refuge and my strength, all other strength is weakness, absolutely. Because power belongeth to God. Not once, twice has he heard it in Psalm 62:11 that God, power belongs to God. I just love that scripture so much. And all we have to do is plug into God and that power is ours. You know, it has to be real. And somewhere along the line, we have to find out that that's true, is that He is our refuge and our strength and a very present help in trouble. So I was so blessed by this testimony of one of our neighbours. He, I just rang just before I came in just to check on it so I get the story right. But he went hunting. He's got some friends down around Raitahi and Ohakune. They've got a farm there. And he went out deer hunting and saw this deer on the other side of the, like the gully, took a shot of it, went down to this clearing, and it wasn't there. So he came back up the ridge. And as he was coming up the ridge, it was grassy, but it was a track, but where he put his foot was grass, and he slipped, and he slipped backwards. And on the other side of this ridge was this, he said it's stony and a bit few rocks, but nothing bigger than this to hold on to. He just started sliding on his back, head first, down the slope. And then once the slope came to an end, it was a 100-metre drop down to these rocks below. And it's just such an amazing testimony because it's real and it's, you know, it's true and it's real and it's just so simple. And he was sliding down. You imagine that, not even seeing where you're going, but he was on his back, head down, and he was just saying to me he could feel himself accelerating, like getting faster and faster down the slope, and he knew what was down below that, down to this river, 100 metres down, and he just cried out, God, save me! And he just came to an absolute standstill. He doesn't know, there was nothing there, nothing to grab on. He just came to an absolute standstill. And he just got up and he just saw the top of, you know, the top of the bank, and he just scrambled up and got there. And God just met him in desperation at a really critical time. And he said, you know, Bill, it's so real to me that God is a very present help in trouble. Because if he hadn't, he would have been all over. But you know how faithful God is, and in such a supernatural way, just a simple thing, not, oh Lord, but just, God's, Jesus, save me. And Jesus saved him, and he came to an absolute, the brakes just went on, and he stopped, and then crawled back up the top. So, you know, we're not talking pie in the sky stuff here. It's just so real. Sometimes the help is there, but we're blinded. You know, we cry out to God for help and we say he's a very present help in time of trouble, and we don't actually see that the help is actually already there. Like an example of that is the manna in the desert. You know, they had a complete meal in one, but they wanted flesh. But actually, that was angels' food, and it's better. I was just thinking about that. You know, you can buy that now, like in a packet, one square meal. Have you fellas seen that? It's like a big fat muesli bar. It takes you about half an hour to eat it, and when you've eaten it, you know you've eaten it. But manna was a complete meal. It was the whole package was right there on the ground, and they didn't. And they wanted more. The help for them, for their hunger, was there. Sometimes the help is there, but it's rejected. You know, as Samuel was getting old, then Israel wanted a king. And he said, Samuel, they haven't rejected you, they've rejected me. God said that himself. So sometimes the help is there. I know his sons were going haywire and stuff, but they wanted more, but the help was already there. And sometimes the help is still on its way, and we just have to wait and be patient. And it's probably why he says at the end of Psalm 46, it says, be still and know that I am God. Just to wait and know. See, like, and I thought, Lord, show me where that one is, where they just had to wait and be patient. And in John chapter 11, there's a graphic account of Lazarus's death, 4 days. One of our sheep just died last week. It was fly blown on the afternoon, and in the morning when I thought I'd better bring them in and attend to it, it was dead. And after 4 days, it was well and truly dead. You know, it wasn't a great sight. Wasn't great. He'd been dead for 4 days. Jesus delayed for 2 days on hearing of Lazarus' sickness, that God and his power might be glorified. And Luke, it says, he said that to Martha, Mary, that you should see the glory of God. So sometimes the help is not immediately forthcoming, but God wants to show himself in an even stronger way, like in Lazarus' idea. You know, he was 4 days dead. If he had got there when he was first told, things might have been different. But truly, the glory of God was shown when he called forth a man who had been dead 4 days in the grave. In Isaiah 41:10, it says, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." Such a powerful scripture, that Psalm 41. You know, when you're feeling like you haven't got much, God is right there and he's got everything for you. Do it God's way, not trusting in our own strength. You know, like my example of me trying to sort out all my money so that we wouldn't get our, when the crash came. No, do it God's way. Just rest in God. Trust in God. Go to him first. Don't try and do all the other things. And then when they don't work, then go to God. Go to God right for your first thing. Say, "Lord, I need help in this matter." There's a really cool story in 2 Chronicles. That's where the families read. We're reading as our family devotions at the moment, chapter 25. The king Amaziah, he was ready to do battle. He had 100,000 men over 20, fine, mighty young men of valor. And he hired 100,000 mighty men of valor out of Israel for 100 talents of silver. I don't know how much is that worth. Some people got that in their Bible. Has anyone got that? 2 Chronicles 25, verse 6. Sometimes there's a little writing in your Bible tells you what's that worth today. Second Chronicles 25, verse 6. Anyone got that?
$528,000.
Well, that's probably an old Bible too, Sister Pauline, is it? An older? Might be worth more than that now with inflation. Anyway, so here they put out all this money to hire these 100,000 men out of Israel. But there came a man of God to him saying, "O king, let not the army of Israel go with thee, for the Lord is not with Israel, to wit, with all the children of Ephraim. But if thou wilt go, do it. Be strong for the battle. God shall make thee fall before the enemy, for God hath power to help and to cast down." And then the king says to the man of God, "Hey, but what are we going to do with these 100 talents of that we paid for the Israelites to come? Because I've given it to the army of Israel." And the man of God answered, "The Lord is able to give thee much more than this." In other words, get back on track with God. Don't try and do it your own way. You know, buy an army for 500 and something thousand dollars. Do it God's way. God's more than able to help him. He's shown it right through the whole of Kings and Chronicles. He's just showing how God has intervened on behalf of his people. And so then Amaziah separated them to wit, and he sent that Israelite army away. Well, what happened to them? We just read it. Beulah, can you remember? What happened? What? No, what happened to the Israelite army when they were sent away? I can't hear. Yeah, that's right. They moaned all the way. They were angry against Judah, and they returned home in anger, and they plundered a whole lot of and ravaged a whole lot of villages on the way. You know, if he had done it God's way the first way, none of that would have happened. But anyway, even though we muck up, even though we start going down other tracks, if we stop in our tracks and say, "No, sorry, God, I was wrong. I need to do it your way," God's more than able to restore that. You know, I just love that DVD you shared with us, Pete Mason, the one about, you know, restoring. No matter what's happened, God is able to restore and put things back in their correct order and stuff. Might need to borrow it again from you, I think. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, it says, "We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. We just go from trial to trial in lives. Anyone here without a trial? Heather, you got any, are you trial free at the moment? But you know, that's our lot as people. If you've got a smooth bed, if you're just travelling along a smooth road today, there's probably something wrong. We just go from, you know, our life is full of trials and tribulations, but we have a very present help in time of trouble. And he just steers us through, and then out we come on the other side into the next one. He's with us again in a greater way sometimes, you know. Anyway, it says in Job 41, man that is born of a woman, that's all of us, is of a few days. I was 55 the other day. I cannot believe where 55 years have gone. These young ones, they think they're going to be young forever. Do you think you're going to be young forever, Brianna? Does it feel like that though? No bills. No worry about where your next meal's coming from or anything like that. So if we think we're going to go through this life now without any trials or tribulations or difficulties, then you're probably sitting in the wrong seat today. You're probably meant to be somewhere else. But we do have trials and tribulations, but we have a helper, and he's going to get us through. And I heard the people say,
amen.
Or
hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And as I was writing that on my thing, I thought, and all the people said,
amen.
And
hallelujah.
And I thought of that man there. Norm Pitt. And I thought of Norm Pitt and just him saying hallelujah. And I was thinking sometimes, you know, he used to tell me some of the trials and tribulations he'd been through his life. And I thought, what an awesome testimony of a man that he had a smile on his dial and he just seemed to have a real enthusiasm for the Lord and stuff like that. And, you know, life was not easy for him. I think he was like almost, he was put in an orphanage as a young guy and things happened all through his life. But God just sustained him. When he came to the Lord, he just had a joy and a strength that could have only come from the Lord. So I'll just bring us back, Brianna, to our rock, whose name is Ebenezer. I teach in Ebenezer. He's a relation of Tazzy's. He's about 6 years old, and he's dynamite. He's on the autistic spectrum, and he is dynamite. But he loves God. When we pray, he can just about say the whole prayer. He's one of the Arthur Baker's grandson. Anyway, Ebenezer, and I just found out the story of Ebenezer today. I'm going to look at that boy with a whole new, because he's been sent to me for a purpose. That's one of my trials, is how I steer my way, how Ebenezer and I steer our way together through this life this year. So in 1 Samuel 7 it says, and as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, so the people were worried because the Philistines were coming. The Philistines drew near to battle against Israel, but the Lord thundered with a great thunder on that day upon the Philistines and discomfited them, and they were smitten before Israel. So they didn't even get to the battle. And the men of Israel went out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and smote them until they came unto Bethkar. And then Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shen, and he called it Ebenezer. Because... sorry, Tez? Yeah, the Lord helped us. And I was thinking, you know, we should all have an Ebenezer stone. Did I tell you about getting this Ebenezer stone from your house? Well, I forgot my Ebenezer stone at home. And as I was driving into town, I suddenly realized I hadn't got it. And I thought, I'll just go around to the Warringtons. They'll have a stone. Well, they didn't tell me they had a dog. And I went around the back of the house and opened the gate, and because I had seen a pile of stones. And as I walked through this goat, this huge dog came right to the end of his chain and just went absolutely ballistic. But anyway, I did manage to get an Ebenezer stone. And I thought, you know, I mean, I'm not saying we have to have a real Ebenezer stone, but even just that Ebenezer stone where every time God helps us, we just put another notch in there. Yep, he helped me, 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 time and time again. No. Just from, you know, you're such an encouragement to Jen and I, and just the testimony of God has just how He's just helped you over and over and over again over the years. Absolutely. And called the name of it Ebenezer, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. And the neat thing about that was, so the Philistines were subdued, and they came no more into the coast of Israel, and the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines all the days of Samuel. We all need an Ebenezer stone in our lives. And every trial, trouble, every tribulation, just put another notch in our Ebenezer stone. But the interesting thing, you know, we can have an experience like Barry, where he's sliding down and he just cries out, "Jesus, save me." But sometimes, you know, in our crying out to God, we have to make sure that our hearts are right with the Lord. You know, that we're not always, every time a trouble comes, we just go to the Lord. But when the trouble's over, we just go back on our merry way. And it was interesting. I was just looking at what the people of the men of Israel did before that, before the Ebenezer stone story. And it says, they put away their gods, they confessed, and they fasted. You know, I just thought, you know, for some of us, maybe that's what we need to do. Maybe, you know, like, when a trouble comes up, like Bill Hughes, with the money, I go to my, you know, got that little god there of money, and my father helping me out in times of trouble, instead of just going to God. So we have to put away all of those gods, the other gods in our lives that come between us and the one true God. We need to confess, God, I'm mucked up. I'm trying to do this in my own strength. My refuge is a wrong refuge. And then put that right, and it says that they also fasted. There's a really cool story that we had read as a family the other day about someone who tried their own way. It's in 2 Chronicles 18, and it was about Ahab and Jehoshaphat. So they went to battle. Now the king of Syria had commanded the captains of the chariots that were with him, saying, "Fight ye not with the small or great, save only with the king of Israel, Ahab." And what had Ahab done in that battle? Anyone know? He disguised himself so he didn't look like the king. That was his way of, you know, circumnavigating things. And it came to pass when the captains of the chariots saw Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, that they said, "It is the king of Israel." Therefore they compassed about him to fight. But Jehoshaphat cried out, and the Lord helped him. And God moved them to depart from him. Isn't that amazing? He cried out and God helped him. He was the only one dressed like a king, and the arrows probably would have been coming to him, but God helped him. For it came to pass that when the captains of the chariots perceived that it was not the king of Israel, they turned back again from pursuing him. And what happened to Ahab? Anyone know? I think the guy, one of the Syrians, just took a lucky shot, like a random shot, and it hit Ahab and killed him. Well, he died from those wounds later that day. You know, so we can try and do things our own way. Old Ahab, he tried to disguise himself and things like that, but it doesn't work. We've got to do it God's way and get our help from God, his way. Psalm 22:19 says, "Be not thou far from me, O Lord. O my strength, haste thee to help me." And as I was reading through that, where it says haste, it occurs lots of times in Psalms that David said, "Make haste to help me." And I was thinking about that as Christians, you know, sometimes we think, oh, he'll do it in his own time. But I think it's perfectly scriptural to say, "Lord, help me and help me right now." And see God's hand. Maybe we're not desperate enough. Maybe we just say, "Oh, Lord, can you help me?" With, you know, all fuzzy edges around it. But it says in the scriptures, I just started to look down how many times it says, "Make haste to help me. Hurry to help me." Just like Barry. I mean, it was no good saying, "Lord, tomorrow, can you help me?" Because he would have been on the rocks down in the river. So I think, you know, like, I sort of feel like the Lord is saying to us, expect great things from him. And expect them now, you know, like don't, whatever the needs we have, say, "Lord, help me and help me right now. I need you right now." Psalm 94:17 says, "Unless the Lord had been my help, my soul almost had dwelt in silence. Well, we can't dwell in silence because we can boast of the Lord's help. We have proved him over and over. And it says, Isaiah 50, verse 7, "For the Lord will help me. Therefore, I shall not be confounded. I will not be confused in situations. Don't allow other people, other Christians, to confuse you." We were just sharing Auntie Rowe, one of the testimonies in their book, Jan testified about. The Christian said, "Leave him. The husband had committed adultery. Leave him." The Christian elder said, "Leave your husband." The husband stopped coming to church. They said, "See, that's evidence that he's not following the Lord. Leave him, he's no good." But what did God do? By the love of that wife and her godly response to her husband, they were restored. Their marriage was restored. So don't allow yourselves to be confounded. Seek God. Say, "God, help me. Show me what I have to do. I've set my face like flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed." It might seem the most stupid thing what God asks you to do to rectify that situation. You know, like to go and ask for forgiveness when you've offended people. You know, it feels really stupid when you go up to someone and say, "I did wrong. I did this, I spoke like this about you, I took this from you." It seems really funny, you'd rather bury your sin, but when we bring it to the light and go and see that person and ask for forgiveness, it seems a stupid thing to do, and other people might think it's stupid, but God will come through. I've seen it time and time again. I'm just going to finish with two scriptures. Hebrews 13:6, it says, "So that we may boldly say, 'The Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me.'" And then I thought, well, what does this mean for us? You know, all this so we can access help. But just like what Taz was doing yesterday, and I know lots of other of you are doing out and about in the community, in Acts 26:22 it says, "Having therefore obtained help of God," this is Paul speaking, "I continue this day," and he was sharing the good news with people. So he gives us help, but we're not just to hold on to it ourselves. Because we have that testimony, because we have that reality of how God's helped us in our lives, we need to share that with other people on how they can access God's help for themselves. Because he's willing to be, he's our helper, but he doesn't just want us to hold on and just be mingy, be stingy with what he's done for us. He wants us to show other people how they can access God's help to live a life for God. So I'll just finish off with that first scripture. 46:1, maybe you can read it with me. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I really thank you for just this opportunity this morning just to see the reality of who you are, Lord Jesus. And you're just waiting there, Lord. You're right here, right now, wanting to help your people. Lord, in whatever situation it is, I don't know what the people's situations are, Lord, but you know. And Lord, just let them realize that just the truth of this, Lord, is that you're just waiting there to be called out to, and that you can help them. All power belongs to you, Lord Jesus. You are a refuge and a strength to your people, Lord Jesus. And all we have to do is reach out to you this morning, Lord. Help us through this week. Not only help us in our own walk, but help us to help other people as well, Lord, to access your help. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. What's your song, bro?
You love the Lord. You love the Lord. Yes, you love.
These things are. You do forget. However, look, I'll just close in prayer and just thank the Lord for our meal that we're going to have, and that the Lord will be there. And our next meeting will be the Tuesday prayer meeting, 7 p.m. All are welcome. Lord Jesus, we thank you for being here. We thank you, Lord, for our understanding of the things of God. We're all different. Every one of us are different. Men, women, and even amongst our gender, we're different. And that's the way that you made us, Lord. And certain people bring out things in other ways, but we are very grateful, Lord, for your understanding, for our simpleness, but great respect for what you give us, Lord. Every one of us can be used of God if we just let ourselves be so. And Lord, we just thank you for the people that joined in, and may they be blessed with what they heard. May they be uplifted, encouraged in their life, in their homes, and where they live. Lord, we just thank you for the food that we're about to take and the fellowship. Just bless it to us. Bless the hands that prepared the food, and may the fellowship be sweet. And we ask all these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You are dismissed. Thank you.